Silence glared at him for a moment, and then they continued on their way. The corridor seemed emptier of people than it had been before. Silence fumed quietly to himself. Carrion remained impassive, striding soundlessly down the corridor with his black cloak billowing about him like the wings of the black bird of ill omen he thought himself to be. Silence cursed himself for a fool for not fully considering the impact Carrion's return would have on his crew. Of course there were bound to be hard feelings. There would be men and women on board ship who'd fought against Carrion and the Ashrai in the vicious and bloody ground wars on Unseelie. 12 years was a long time, but nowhere near long enough to forget something like that. God knows he'd tried hard enough. But all that had mattered to him at the time was getting the man who used to be his friend back on board ship with him, where Silence thought he belonged. He'd wanted things to be the way they used to be. But his old friend Sean was now the man called Carrion. Traitor, murderer, alien by adoption and by choice, the first to admit he wasn't human anymore. It would take more than a pardon and a reinstatement to undo what the man called Sean had made himself. Silence sighed quietly. With Frost gone, he needed someone he could trust to lean on. It was as simple as that. And Carrion, ill-suited to the role as he might be, was the only one Silence could turn to.
I appreciate everything you've done for me, Captain, but I feel I should point out that adding a notorious traitor such as myself to your crew is probably not the wisest thing you could have done. It won't do much for your career prospects, and it could undermine your standing and authority with your crew.
I don't have any career prospects. I've seen to that. And my crew trusts me and my judgment. They'll learn to accept you.
I can't replace Investigator Frost, Captain.
No one could. I was offered my choice of investigator for this mission, but I wanted you. Someone who can understand the alien viewpoint and come up with other options than just blowing them away. If the Recreated are all they're supposed to be, going head-to-head with them is not going to be a viable strategy. I needed someone flexible.
I've been called many things in my time, but I think that's a new one. But how can you be sure I'd side with humanity? I might join with the aliens once again.
Shub destroyed the metallic forests, took away everything you had. They're your enemy too now. And siding with humanity is your only chance for revenge on them.
How well you know me, Captain. You're quite right. Revenge is a cold comfort, but sometimes it's all we have left to cling to.
Just do your duty, Carrion. That's all anyone can ask of us.
Duty, honor, revenge. No matter how far we go, how deeply we hide ourselves, they always come back to claim us. All I ever wanted was to be left alone. But we are the potter's clay, not the potter. And I have always done what I must because it is not in me to stand aside. I'll be your investigator, Captain. Just promise me that when I'm no longer needed, you'll let me go.
Of course, Sean. I understand.
No, you don't, Captain. You never did.
They walked a while together, staring straight ahead. They'd never found it easy to talk about the things that mattered.
Did you get a chance to talk to Diana again before we left?
No. I left a message at the Esper Guild house where she's been staying, but she never got back to me. Well, perhaps it's for the best. She's been through a lot, and there's so much unfinished business between us. I used to hear about the rebel terrorist called Jenny Psycho, but I never dreamed that she could be my own lost daughter. Frost knew, but she never told me. She knew it would hurt me. You saw how Diana was at Parliament. She said she hated me. With good reason, if truth be told. I wasn't there to save her when she needed me. Not the kind of thing that can be sorted out with a 10-minute chat in the middle of our busy lives. Maybe when this mission is over.
She was such a frail young thing when I first knew her on Unseelie. So full of life and happiness and wonder. I saw so much of that crushed by what she went through. But in the end, she found the strength to join in song with the Ashrai, to fly free as they do. I couldn't see any of that person in the woman I met at Parliament. I've heard of some of the things she did as Jenny Psycho. Terrible things. How did she turn from what she was into what she has become?
How did we?
Good point, Captain. Good point.
They came at last to Frost's old cabin. Silence hesitated for a moment before the closed door. He hadn't been in there since just after her death, when he sorted through Frost's old belongings before the cleaning staff went in. He hadn't been looking for anything in particular. It was just his way of saying goodbye. There hadn't been much to look through. Like all investigators, Frost hadn't bothered much with mementos or personal touches. A few books, all strictly military in nature. No photos or letters or memories. Just a small library of discs of her favorite music. Silence hadn't known she liked music. It seemed too tranquil an interest for her. He'd taken the discs away with him to listen to later, when he had the time. He'd had the cabin sealed after that, ready for whoever took over as investigator, though he'd never expected to be opening it for Carrion. He reached out to punch in the security codes, and then stopped as Carrion put a hand on his arm. Silence looked at him, raising an eyebrow. Carrion stared at the closed door, frowning slightly.
Not just yet, Captain. There's someone in there. Someone or something very unusual and very powerful.
That's not possible. The door's still locked, and I'm the only one who has the security code. Anyone trying to get past that would set off alarms all over the ship.
Nevertheless, this room is already inhabited.
Silence drew his disruptor.
Stand ready and watch yourself. Anyone powerful enough to override this kind of lock would have to be very dangerous.
That's all right. So am I.
Silence entered the security code, kicked the door open, and stepped quickly into the room, Carrion at his side. The lights were already on. A dark figure was sitting in Frost's old chair, her back to him. She was little more than a silhouette, but something about her shape and posture seemed familiar to Silence. He lurched forward a step, a mad, impossible hope bursting suddenly in his heart. Frost?
No, it's just me, Daddy.
The hope in Silence's heart crashed and died, but was replaced almost immediately by a different kind of warmth.
Hello, Diana. How the hell did you get in here? I didn't even know you were on board ship.
No one does. Let's keep it that way. This is an entirely unofficial visit. No one must know I was ever here. I have enemies these days, more powerful and dangerous than I ever expected.
Oh, hell, who have you killed now?
Nothing like that. I could cope with something like that.
Hold everything. How did you get on board this ship? No matter what excuse you use, security should still have alerted me.
A girl has to have some secrets, Daddy. Let's just say no one sees me anymore if I don't want to be seen. Now, do sit down, the pair of you. You're making the place look untidy, and I hate being loomed over.
Silence and Carrion looked at each other, shrugged pretty much simultaneously, and looked around for somewhere to sit. There was only one other chair, so Silence sat on it. He was the captain, after all. Carrion sat on the bed. It was officially his. They both looked expectantly at Diana.
I've been working on something new. Investigating the true nature of the Mater Mundi. And I've been happening on all kinds of unexpected and interesting things. The one thing I'm sure of is that she isn't what everyone thinks she is. She's also somewhat mad at me for poking my nose into areas she feels are none of my business. In fact, she warned me off personally. I think she would have killed me if she could.
Carrion looked at her interestedly.
You stood off the Mater Mundi? I'm impressed.
Maybe you should back off, Diana. What's so important about knowing the Mater Mundi's true nature that's worth getting killed over?
I don't know. That's exactly my point. What could be so terrible about her, so shocking, that she's prepared to kill to keep it hidden?
There's no point asking me. I've never had any interest in Esper affairs. What do you want from me, Diana? We're leaving for the Dark Void in just under 6 hours.
That's why I had to catch you before you left. I'm becoming very interested in the nature of Esp itself. How it does what it does. You two are both unique individuals. The captain, because he passed partway through the madness maze and emerged changed. And Carrion, because before he went to Unseelie, he showed no trace at all of Esper abilities. No one in his family was ever an Esper, for as far back as I can trace, and the genetic assay in his old medical files bears that out. So, Carrion, how did you become the Esper paragon that you are today?
The aliens changed me, the Ashrai. It was necessary if I was to survive alone on their world. and joined them in their war against humanity. So they remade me. And no, I don't know how. I have no memory of it. Apparently, it was too painful to remember.
They would have had to make alterations on the genetic level. Pretty sophisticated stuff for a species with no discernible technology.
That's a very human attitude. Tech isn't everything.
Diana studied him silently for a long moment.
You're never alone, are you, Carrion? They're always with you. The ghosts, the Ashrai.
You can see them?
Almost. I sang with them once on Unseelie, remember? My mind joined with theirs, though only briefly. That link is still there. I can feel them, a potential, hanging around you, like the pressure on the air before a storm. Why do they stay, Carrion? Why do they stay with you?
I'm the last Ashrai, all that's left of what they were. They want revenge for what was done to them, to the trees, to their world.
Revenge? That's a very human attitude, isn't it?
Yes. Regrettably, they have learned by example.
We're very alike, you and I. Changed and altered by powers greater than ourselves, for reasons we don't fully understand. What were you supposed to be, Carrion? Their champion? Their defender? Their avenger? Be very careful. You might not be what you think you are. You fought humanity for them once. Would you destroy humanity for them now? For revenge?
They wouldn't ask me to do that.
How do you know?
And Carrion had no answer to give her. The quiet dragged on long enough to become uncomfortable.
Why are you here, Diana? After what you said to us at Parliament...
Needs must where the devil drives. I find myself in need of allies. If the Mater Mundi wants me dead, it'll find a way. So I need help. Powerful associates to watch my back and lend their power to me.
So you came to your father. Of course, Diana. That's what fathers are for.
No, Daddy. Not you. The maze gave you power, but you're still learning how to use it.
So you want my help? Very well. My abilities are at your disposal.
Don't flatter yourself. I need the Ashrai. Their inhuman strength. Like I said, the link's still there. I can almost hear their song echoing deep down in the caverns of my unconscious. A rustling of ghosts of an old encounter. God knows I've tried to exorcise them. I don't want anyone in my head but me. But if they're there, maybe I can use them. So tell me, Carrion, would they come if I called? If I needed them?
I don't know. They don't talk to me anymore. But they have always intervened when I needed them.
Not exactly the answer I was hoping for. But let's see if it's true.
Diana's face changed suddenly. Dark shadows appeared beneath her staring eyes, and the skin of her face stretched taut across her skull. Her thin lips stretched into a merciless, humorless smile. She seemed suddenly larger than she was, and her eyes were unnaturally bright. Psionic power sparked and crackled in the air around her, and her presence leapt out to fill the cabin. Diana was gone, submerged in the malevolent aberration that was Jenny Psycho. Silence's hand went automatically to his gun, and then fell away. Even if he could bring himself to use it on his own daughter, he doubted it would be of any use against something like Jenny Psycho. She stood up and glared at Carrion, shadows gathering around her, and he was quickly on his feet facing her, his power lance held out between them. Jenny Psycho seized the lance with her mind, ripped it out of his hands, and threw it the length of the cabin. Carrion felt as though one of his limbs had been torn away. His body rose slowly into the air, and then was slammed back against the steel cabin wall, held there crucified by Jenny Psycho's will. Silence tried to rise from his chair and found he couldn't, held in place by his daughter's thoughts. And then, the Ashrai came. They filled the cabin like a boiling cloud, dead but not gone, with gargoyle faces and huge clawed hands. The space within the cabin seemed to fly out in all directions, becoming vast and cavernous to accommodate the massive forms of the Ashrai. They were awful and magnificent, terrible in their anger, and they burned so very brightly. Jenny Psycho, blazing like a star, smiled at them.
Hi, guys. Good to see you again. It's been a while. Sorry for disturbing your rest, but I really could use your help. There's something out there called the Mater Mundi, and it might just be more powerful than you are. and I don't think it's willing to tolerate any competition. So if I need your help against it, will you come when I call?
And the Ashrai replied. Then they were gone, and the cabin was just a cabin again.